Alex, I believe I have reached the equivalent of nirvana.
Tell me more.
Well, I have been sleeping on my cozy earth sheets.
Wow.
And when I get up in the morning, I put on my fantastic jogger suit.
Yes.
Which is a funny way to put it, but you started saying that, so I'm just going to keep on going. And it is opening my mind to things I didn't know I could open my mind to.
Casey, all I have to say is, welcome to the other side.
It's incredible, Alex.
I've lived two lives. One of them is before Cozy Earth, and one is after.
Which is right now.
That's right. We're talking Cozy Earth. They make incredible, soft, lovely, temperature-controlled bedding and cozy wear.
Cozy Earth makes the best clothes I think I've ever touched, that have ever touched my skin.
Casey, I'm right there with you.
It's soft, it's breathable, it's temperature regulated, it looks good, it feels good, which makes it good.
And how about this for good? All of their products come with a 100-night sleep trial and a 10-year warranty. So if for some completely batshit reason you don't love these sheets, you can return them.
Now, Alex, right around the corner is Mother's Day. If you haven't already done something, which you should have,
yeah,
now's your moment. Go buy your mom some Cozy Earth, because it is the thing that will help her sleep at night. It's the thing that will help keep her comfortable at all moments of her life. And that's what you want for your mom.
So she isn't up all night thinking about what a disappointment her children are.
Exactly, because they didn't get her Cozy Earth. You don't want to be on that level.
Well, Casey, here's some exciting news. All Completely Arbitrary listeners get 35% off at CozyEarth.com with promo code TREES. Again, that's promo code TREES, T-R-E-E-S, for 35% off at Cozy Earth. So get yourself cozy. Get your mom cozy. Hell, get your dad cozy and your friends cozy.
Yeah, it doesn't have to stop there, you know?
Make the earth cozy with Cozy Earth.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
What's up, Fungal Associates? Welcome to Completely Arbitrary Tremium. Only here on Supercast.
Wow. I've never heard you say that before. Welcome to Supercast Tremium, because this is our first official side show.
That's right, Casey.
Yeah, a real side show.
This is a real side show, if you know what I mean. We got the bearded woman over there on the couch.
She's gorgeous.
I'm the 600-pound man.
I'm the bearded woman?
Yeah.
What? It's offensive.
Oh, boy. Victorian Freak Show. Can you believe that was ever a thing, Casey?
You know, I really can. I really can.
Okay, yeah, I guess I can, too.
And I also have to say, it turns out, I'm pretty positive, a lot of those people were quite happy with it.
Interesting.
Because they were outcast in society otherwise.
Yeah.
And then they found this other group of outcasts and they're like, yeah, you're one of us. And then they made money kind of being like, look at how weird I am.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like they steered into it. I'm not going to speak for all
of those participants.
Exactly.
But that's a fair thing to assume. I think there's probably a lot of that. I think, like, you know, we have this new language now about exploitation and, sort of, you know, disability shaming or whatever. Mm-hmm, like, mm-hmm. You know, I think that if they were alive today and having seen how society has changed, they might feel differently.
Yeah, I think you're right. But
at the time, right. I don't know if we had those sorts of ways of thinking.
Yeah, I don't know. But I've read a couple things about just random people just following some Wikipedia hole.
Yeah.
And like some people like, yeah, they did this for like 20 years and they had a great time.
Yeah.
I don't know. They didn't say they had a great time, but it's like, that's the only way they could go about it. And I think it became like a bit of a community
Sure.
Of these sideshows. But yes, it would be kind of weird kind of a weird thing. I bet you they had great parties though.
Oh yeah.
Like, can you imagine like an old timey circus party? Just drinking like blackstrap rum.
Now, do you think at these parties they hired like very normal looking men to come and like kind of gaze at and make yeah. fun of?
Look at their fingers. There's only five. What a freak.
Now, that's a fun idea. That's a good SNL sketch.
That would be really good.
The after party at yeah. the freak show.
Where everyone just brings in normal people yeah. to the sideshow. That yeah. would be such a good flipped script.
Yeah. There's just a fish in a bowl.
Weird, man.
It doesn't even have a human head. Casey, that's right. This is our first Tremium episode.
Sure is.
We had a great idea for this.
Yes, we did.
It's not often that we come up with an idea live on a mainline episode and True. Then follow through and make that episode happen.
Yeah, most of the time we forget that we said it.
Absolutely. But here we are following through.
Yeah.
Hey. Mommy and Daddy didn't forget about your soccer game. We're here cheering you on.
We're here. Good job.
Yeah. Casey, so a few episodes, I think, we mentioned that there's a seismic shift, I love that term, happening in the bird world. Yeah. I should say the birding world, the ornithology world.
Yes, yeah.
They're basically the bird board came together and said, you know what? We have so many birds whose common names.
Yes, specifically.
Yes.
I don't think anyone is changing the scientific names.
That's right. Their common names are named after a person. So they looked at all these birds named after people and they said, you know what, the guys who these birds are named after, you know, they're not such great guys.
Not necessarily. Yeah. Or like they never even saw the bird. They never even touched it. They're not even bird people.
Yeah. Maybe they didn't have anything to do with the bird. Maybe they were wildly racist in their time. Mm-hmm. Maybe they, you know, owned slaves, or maybe they were womanizers had interesting thoughts about Native American people.
Maybe they were just random white people who just had no reason to be associated with this bird to begin with.
Yeah. I think I have made this assumption maybe that's because they're such problematic figures, but it's also, you're right, because they may have never even heard of this bird.
Yeah. Well, the way it was described to us by
posthumous, I guess, if you named it posthumously.
Oh, yes. Posthumously. Yes, yes, yes. Posthumously. It was mostly described to us by David Allen Sibley.
That's right.
And DAS said that it had also to do with the fact that it kind of gives them some like ownership of it, you know?
Yeah.
Because it's usually called Croson's Warbler, which is kind of like there's a possessive apostrophe there.
Oh,
and
I
it's
see.
Like, well, why is this person associated with it? Why is it as if they are the owners
right.
in a, you know, not a literal sense, but in a linguistic sense, that's
sure.
the name of it. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So it kind of, came, I guess all this to say, finish what you're saying.
Well, they're changing this. So yes. the Ornithological Society, whatever it's called.
I like bird board.
Bird people. The bird board, the bird people. Mm-hmm. They have decided to take all of these.
BBBP.
All of these birds that are named after people and give them a more descriptive name based on the bird's colors and markings and song.
Yeah,
and like
just
something
anything.
To do with the bird.
Yes. And it basically says, now we're going to get rid of the association.
Yeah.
Whether or not that's a good association, a bad association.
Sure.
The idea is that it should be descriptive or neutral is what it was described to us.
Well, Casey, this may all be happening in the bird world, but today you and I have decided to apply this new way of naming and thinking about these things.
That's right.
To our subject, which is trees.
100%.
How exciting. Casey, you know our future is bright.
Yeah, it is, Alex.
But it's so bright, we gotta wear shades.
What?
Casey and I are now putting on our gooder glasses.
Oh, man, I can't see a damn thing.
Hey, they do the job, huh?
These things are great.
Casey, that's right. This episode is brought to you by Gooder.
It sure is right.
That is G-O-O-D-R. They make fashionable sunnies.
They make fantastic sunglasses. Alex, I got a quick story. When they approached us, I said, I cannot tell you how excited I am about this. They saved me when I was riding my bike across Iowa in Ragbri last July.
Wow.
I couldn't see. I got hit in the eye. So one of my eyes from a week prior would not constrict. It was constantly dilated.
Oh my God.
So I had to wait till it like essentially refixed itself. I ended up needing to wear sunglasses on the entire drive and driving back over, but I had cheap gas station sunglasses.
Yeah.
It was $5 or something.
Yeah.
And they just did not do the job. I was absolutely in hell. And then stopped over at a shop that was there and then picked up a pair of sunglasses and it said it was $25. And I was like, what? These are okay. I'll try them out. I just need a new pair.
Yeah.
All polarized. I put them on my face and it was like the world had changed.
Oh.
I'm pretty sure I cried, Alex.
Casey,
I love these sunglasses.
I had no idea.
Oh, yeah. They saved me.
That's amazing, Casey. And they didn't save me yet.
Well, the time will come.
The day will come when I need these glasses and I have them. I do love these sunglasses, Casey. And I was telling you before we started recording, my problem with sunglasses is that I always either buy, like you said, a cheap gas station pair for $6 or I could debase myself by spending $200 on a pair of sunglasses at Nordstrom or some shit. I ain't doing that. Casey, Gooder are the perfect middle ground.
They sure are. Starting at $25, they're all 100% polarized. You can look into water and see through it.
Oh my God.
Which is incredible.
Is that true?
It is. They're polarized.
Yeah. Oh, well, these would be great for fishing, eh?
Exactly.
And they would be great for cycling, working out, golfing, going to the beach, hiking, or just walking around town.
Just doing anything. I rode my bike across Iowa with these sunglasses. People wear them while they are jogging. They stay on your face. They don't bounce. They are excellently made. I cannot recommend Gooder enough.
And Casey, they're pretty cool. In fact, you and I got a couple pairs.
Oh yeah, what did you get?
Mine are called Hellhound Hallucinations.
Ooh, Alex, I got The Future is Void.
Amazing.
Now, for those of you who are unfamiliar, that's the name of our sunglasses.
Yes.
Not our new catchphrases for completely arbitrary.
Hey, man, you know what I say. Hellhound Hallucinations.
Yeah, he does say that.
And if you want to support this show and try a pair of Gooder, they are giving Completely Arbitrary listeners free shipping. You can go to gooder.com/trees. That's GOODR.com/trees and use code trees for free shipping. Gooder offers a 30-day money-back guarantee and 100% satisfaction. Again, that's gooder.com/trees and use code trees for free shipping. Huh. We'll see you in the future.
Which is void.
And bright.
Yeah, you look good. You look good.
Hey, let me ask you this. You ever taken a walk and just felt inspired? Maybe you discovered your new favorite restaurant or popped into the library and found a book that you really wanted to read, or you're like, hey, I think this car dealership used to be a Taco Bell. Well, there's a podcast about this kind of thing now with comedian and actor Alan McLeod, one of the funniest guys. It's called Walking About. It's a new podcast that treks into the simple joy of walking and its connections to health, history, creativity, and of course, community. In each episode, Alan invites a friend to share a little stroll and see where the sidewalk takes him. Alan McLeod has guests including Mike Mitchell, Spoon Man, Spoon Nation for Life. You got Colton Dunn. You got Janet Varney, Eva Anderson, Whitmer Thomas, Gabrus, Ed Begley Jr., Catherine Spears, Andy Richter, and of course, Burger Boy, Nick Weiger. Some of the funniest people. You know this podcast is going to be an absolute hoot. Maybe you could even listen to it while you're taking your walks. So lace up your podcasting shoes and listen to Walking About out now, wherever you get your pods. Let's dive into our list. We've got a great list of human-centric names here.
Yes.
and we are going to start brainstorming and come up with some better names.
That's right. And then if we get three people that comment and say, do it, then we will actually create a nonprofit, and it will be called something, and we'll do this for every single tree.
Yes.
And then we're also going to apply for grants from the National Science Foundation.
And then 20 years later, there will be a groundbreaking story from the New York Times about this huge scam that Casey Clapp and Alex Grossen.
They made millions of dollars, and all they did was say officially, this tree is this tree.
All they had to do was make a website with a donation button.
That would be so funny.
So, Casey, let's get started here. Mm. We mentioned, you know, kind of going sporadically through the list. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Is there one that you are particularly drawn to from this list you've made?
Yes. And it's actually the very top one.
The Brewer Spruce.
The Brewer Spruce.
Yes. Named after?
Named after Henry Brewer. William Henry Brewer.
William Henry Brewer.
Yes. Now, so the reason I wanted to start with this is we've talked about this tree. We did it last year when we were talking about talking with Michael Kaufman of Backcountry Press, as well as a couple of other things. Really great guy. Great episode. Of course, listen to it. It's a wonderful species that grows down in the Siskiyous, the Klamath Mountains in Southern Oregon, Northern California. And it's a beautiful tree, but they call it a Brewer Spruce for no really good reason. There is this guy, and I have linked on all of these things, and we'll hopefully put these in there so you can see what we're talking about.
Totally. These will be in the episode description.
Yeah. So this guy, William Henry Brewer, a lot of these people were just kind of random people that were doing some random thing every now and then looking at trees. But for instance, other birds, they were named after people who had nothing to do with it. Like they just happen. It would be like us saying, oh, we're going to honor Obama with the name of a tree. Just call it Obama's Spruce.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, great. Wonderful. I'm glad you did. But like, does he really have anything to do with this? Like at all?
Yeah. It's a little random.
Yeah. And so some of them are random. Some of them are like, this person found this tree.
Totally.
And it was just named by somebody else.
But this guy, for each one of these, Casey, I just want to give the year they were born.
Yep.
And their sex and their race.
Ah, okay.
So I will say this guy was born in 1829, and by all appearances, he seems to be a white male.
Yes, he was from Poughkeepsie, New York.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Wow, you nailed that. I looked at that word and I had no idea. Poughkeepsie, but I have heard of it, but yeah. I would not look at that and think Poughkeepsie.
Yeah, it's kind of a weird spelling, isn't it?
It's like Poughkeepsie.
Well, and the other thing that I do want to note, and this is only because I went through all these already, I think we should give them a rating of beard, because this is the 1800s, and my God, some of these people have fantastic beards, including Mr. Brewer. So I got to give him a little bit of credit for just looking dapper.
Yeah, I will say, you know, we don't have any context for the rest of these guys yet, but so far, I would give this guy like an 8 out of 10
great beard
in terms of his beard.
Yeah, don't worry. There's a couple others that are going to be over the top.
It's a touch unkempt, but it is quite full.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And he's got a good shaped mustache.
He does. He really does. And I really just think I think we should appreciate that.
Well, Casey, of course, the tree that is named after him, the Brewer Spruce, yep. Picea Brewer. I was going to try to do it on the first try. Picea breweriana.
Yeah, or just breweriana.
Breweriana.
Yeah.
Oh, breweriana.
Yeah.
Whew, that's hard.
You got it. One more time. Breweriana.
Breweriana.
Good job, Alex.
That's the Brewer Spruce.
That's right.
It's also called the Weeping Spruce.
Exactly. And that, honestly, this is going to be the easiest one because it is just, we should just call it the Weeping
Spruce.
The
Weeping Spruce.
Yeah. If anything, I believe Siskiyou is a native term, a native description or name.
Okay.
I don't know if there's a tribe called the Siskiyous or anything like that.
Unfortunately, either way, it's banned from this exercise.
Yeah, because the people.
Because, yeah, it can't be. We can't name this after people, Casey.
Okay, about the tree itself.
And if it's from a place that is named after a people, we also cannot do that.
Oh, we'll get there, Alex.
Pennsylvania, out of the question.
Can't do Pennsylvania. Can't do down here. We'll go to Virginia. We got some Virginiana coming.
Not happening.
Anyway, yes, I agree. But I'm one thing, and this is another thing. Maybe we're just not going to get through even one tree today because.
Well, yeah, I mean.
I'm curious on your thoughts about a place name being an indigenous name for that place.
Yeah.
So, for instance, we have the Austrian pine. Austrian black pine is a tree that grows in Austria. It's named after this region in Europe that was named by and for the people who live there. we don't need to get into the specifics of how all these names came. Maybe it was an old Roman name and all these things. Like, we're not going to dive into that. But it wasn't forced on those people, and it was not changed. So, like, the people from the Willamette Valley, almost nothing except maybe the counties are named after those people, but you don't have these certain names. And if so, it was like usually co-opted, like almost appropriated from these people.
For sure. Yeah.
And so,
isn't Willamette itself?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Willamette and, like, I mean, Minnesota, like, you name it. Oh, like, probably so many names that you don't expect are actually native names for the people that were here.
Yep.
But they also have named the land themselves or their area. And so I'm kind of like, well, if Siskiyou, if it's like, these are the Siskiyou Mountains or Wallowa Mountains, Ochoco Mountains, like, these are names probably given by or told to the white people who came over by the people who were there. Or they said, oh yeah, well, that's the Wallowa country. And they just called it that because that's where the Wallowa people were. Or that's what the people who lived in that area called them. So it makes me think, like, well, maybe we could call it like Wallowa or Siskiyou Pine or something like that.
I think no.
Okay. All right.
I think even these indigenous people, I hope this is not a hot take. We'll see how hot it is. But I think even, you know, naming it after the indigenous people of the land, they're still people.
Mm-hmm.
And I like the idea that the land belongs to itself, that the trees belong to themselves and belong to the land.
Okay, yeah.
Have an exist to right, a right to exist on their own. That's what gives them value, is that they exist.
So this is going to be a very narrowly defined, we're naming it about the place broadly, or the tree itself.
I will say, yeah, when you say place, like the biome.
Yes,
like this is the mountain fir.
Exactly,
yes.
Exactly. All right, cool.
Not this is the Mount Hood fir.
Perfect.
Yeah.
In that case, I think this needs to be the Weeping Spruce.
I think Weeping Spruce is perfect. We're stamping it.
I think it sounds great.
Sending it off to our lawyers.
Done. I will also say, as a side note, I really want to also change the scientific names. I know this is kind of a big of a stretch.
No, I mean, the scientific name has the name of the guy in it.
Exactly. It should, and it's Breweriana, which means, like, Anna means of, you know, or like about this person. So it literally is kind of the same thing. So it translates, Picea Breweriana translates as brewer's spruce. So what I want to, or the spruce of brewer.
Yeah.
I would think that should be Picea Pendula.
Oh, because pendula means hanging?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I was also, I mean, that's fine because pendula is already a well-known, like, kind of scientific term.
Exactly. Yeah. A lot of different things. It's also just, it is generally Latin for hanging.
Sure.
Pendulous.
People know this.
Yeah.
I was going to pitch, what is it? Picea clematis.
Clematis.
Which means crying in Latin.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Clematis.
Clematis or clematis.
Huh.
And then you have weeping, which is fletus.
Yeah.
Fletus or fletus.
Hmm.
But I like your pendula. That's a little more well known.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll go pendula.
Okay, we'll go with one of those three.
All right. Casey, I'm going to pick the next one.
I was going to say, go for it. What do you got?
Well, I want to save Douglas fir for last.
It's going to be really hard.
I know. I am going to go for something I did not know was named after a person. I probably did and I forgot.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. There's a few in there that I know about and these are going to be hard.
This is the Magnolia.
The Magnolia.
Named after Pierre Magnol.
Yeah. Which is, I had no idea until sometime during this podcast. And I also didn't know, like, camellia, stewardia, all of these plants are the same thing. And I didn't put either of those on here. They didn't make the list.
Okay.
But it's the same situation in that this isn't just saying this is brewer's spruce. Spruce, great, let's stick with that. All the other ones, or most of what we're talking about here, is somebody's name, generic tree. This name is the generic tree.
Right.
So, like, even if we have, like, the
right,
anyone's magnolia, that's like a double negative.
So what you're saying is this is not like the magnolia pine, named after James Magnol.
Yes.
This is, magnolia is the name of the tree.
Precisely.
Is the generic name of the, magnolia is the name of the genus.
Yes, and it also goes all the way up. Like, yeah. There's Magnoliaceae, there's the Magnoliales. Like, it is like one of the most top descriptors of that kind of flowering plant.
Yep.
It's all the way down.
This is a structural Jenga piece.
Yes. Oh, massive. Yeah. So, but I agree that, I think we should change it because, again, it feels like, because I didn't know that this was named after a person, I always just thought that it was some name that meant some pretty flower.
Yeah.
Like, it's just what it, that's just what I
think.
Sure,
yeah.
So.
Well, I'll say Pierre Mengel. Or Magnol, not Mengel, French botanist.
Yeah.
Born 1638, and we only have I can only assume from this artist's rendering and his kind of background, but I believe that he's white.
Yeah.
And he's a male.
Mustache rating 2.
If that, Casey.
But yeah, come on. You gotta give a little credit for the fact that he just went for it in such a pathetic, like 1700s French way. And if you're French, I'm sorry, but you're gonna look at this and also be like, yeah. That guy really was the most French you could possibly be in the late 1600s.
Totally. You can tell that he just like let it grow out, and this is what happened. It's just this thin little,
it's a wisp, but it also, like, I thought you're gonna, like, you can tell he's an asshole. You can tell, I mean, he's just, the picture, yeah. He almost, like, his eyebrows are raised so that he looks like he's like, I fucking get, you're below, yeah. Me,
he looks like he smells something bad, and it's you.
That's exactly right.
So yeah, this, what is it? He's a French botanist.
Yep. And he was alive 1638 to 1715.
Okay.
So 17th century.
He came from a family of pharmacists. That's kind of interesting.
Okay. Yeah. Makes sense why he's a botanist. They were actually pretty much the same thing.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Mm-hmm. And of course the magnolia is this tree with a big, you know, milky white flower. These gorgeous, I mean, there's nothing, there's no shortage of like interesting, beautiful things on this tree.
Yeah.
The leaves, thick, leathery, big, that brown undercarriage, that kind of orange pubescence.
That's just the southern magnolia. Most of the other magnolias, wow, are actually deciduous.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Well, I say, let's name it after the flower.
Yes, I think so too. Yeah, yeah. Now, the flower is an ancient model, I think we could say. So it's a,
that's right,
it's a kind of flower that is, the old style term is primitive, but it would be, actually it was, Joyce and Torrey of the botany, what's his thing, who said the way to think about it is it's an updated model. So if you think about it as like Ford made cars, but their engine has kind of changed over time, mm-hmm, but they didn't do like, oh, this is a wildly different thing than ever. It's kind of like you can watch the iterations go as they developed more.
Uh-huh.
Same thing with different plants. So you can have a really old lineage of plants, and you can say, yes, this is the modern model of magnolia, but you can look back and see older magnolias and kind of say, ah, okay, so primitive just means that it has a very old lineage.
Okay.
So it's not that it's any less effective or something than something else.
Because
primitive usually has that kind of tone to it.
Uh-huh.
Where, oh, that's primitive. That means it's not as up to date, not as good.
Yeah, it's old.
So this is like, it's not quite that, but
it's just a classic.
It's just a classic. Yeah. So this is a classic.
And it's so old. This is my favorite fun fact about magnolias. It is such an old lineage that they are still pollinated by beetles.
Yes, literally, bees did not exist.
Yes.
Flies didn't exist. It's
because those insects did not exist when this tree got its start.
Right.
I love that. That's such a fun. I say that to anybody I'm with whenever I see magnolia. And they're like, oh, cool.
Yeah.
Like, no, do you understand how cool this
listen
is?
Listen to me. You didn't listen, or else you would be stunned by what I just said.
Well, Casey, I'm thinking of like southern magnolia is the magnolia, of course, that I have the most familiarity with.
Yeah.
grandiflora. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's something there, big flower.
So, I have a thought. So it's an old ancient lineage, right? Yeah. Now, if we are talking about something that is new, the Latin would be neo.
Sure.
And I kind of like want to see what is the opposite of that, like a paleo almost. Where paleo means like a, it's the older thing.
Or antiqua or antica.
Yeah. Ooh, antica, kind of like antiquity. Yeah. Antiquated almost. Ooh, so what if it's like antiqua? I like antiqua.
Okay.
But it would be floral. Antiquiflora.
Well, antiquiflora.
It's way too Latin.
Yeah. I will say the Latin for before.
Yeah.
If neo is like after, uh-huh. right? Before is, I guess neo is new.
Yeah.
Before is anti, like A-N-T-E. Like anti.
Like what, antebellum South kind of thing. It was before that. Okay, yeah.
Before Bellum.
I believe it's basically pre-Civil War South. What, so anti, A-N-T-E?
Yeah.
Ooh, okay, so what if it's like antiflora, antifloral, anti, I want to do something with the flower. It's like it's an ancient flower.
How about the ancient flower tree?
Yeah, what's that? What is that in Latin?
Oh.
Ancient flower tree.
Well, ancient flower is flos antiqui.
Flos antiqui.
I don't know if Q-U is qua or ka.
Yeah, this is a lot harder than I thought.
Flos antiqui. Well, that's also Latin, Casey.
Yes.
So I think we should do English. I think we should do English.
Ooh.
But like, okay, we could use the Latin to sort of maybe plus it up or something. If that makes sense.
Okay. So here's another thing about the magnolia. Mm-hmm. It's got its leaves, or its flowers rather. They do not have a differentiation between the petals and the sepals,
right?
Which makes them tepals. So okay. I kind of want to call this the tepal flower.
The tepal flower tree.
Yeah, the tepal tree.
The tepal tree. That's fun.
Okay. That's great. That's what I would go for.
Okay.
So these are now tepals. The scientific name is antiflora.
I love it. Can I pitch like a second idea?
No.
Okay. Let's move on.
I'm just kidding, Alex. Please.
What do you want to do next?
What's your thing? I need you to hear this. I can't move on. I'm going to wait here in silence.
What about pinyon pine? It was ancient, the perfect flower tree.
Oh, yes.
We talked about them having a perfect, they have both male and female parts.
Oh, yeah. Now, what would that be in Latin?
Something and...
was perfect. Alex is looking this up. One moment. We put Alex on the Latin dictionary, by the way. For everyone who's over there wondering...
Perfectus.
Okay, so what if we just call the scientific name instead of magnolia, because this is magnolia is the genus scientific name, and
right,
the other one, this is like the OG perfect flower, we can just call it neo perfectus. I'm sorry, no,
flora perfectus.
Paleo. Well, I want to mash into just one genus name.
Okay, paleo,
anti-perfectus.
Use all of them. Put them all in there.
Antepifectus.
You think this is how actual taxonomists do it?
I think so, yeah. Except every time they come up with one, they have to take a shot so the next one gets a little wilder.
How about Flamin Fievelfar?
Yeah! That's what I'm talking about.
Put it on the board.
Anyway, everyone look that up and wonder... what the hell Pierre Magnol was doing with his mustache.
Casey, next up, I'm just going to pitch one. Is it okay?
Yeah.
Because I just don't know what to do with those tossed salad and scrambled furs.
Frasier fur. John Frasier, no mustache. A bit of a pompous picture. He's looking at you with the air of, I am so much better than you.
Yeah, well, you know, he's holding like a little sprig of some plant and an axe in the other hand.
See, I don't... Is that an axe? That's what that is, isn't it? Yeah.
I believe it says...
Yeah.
He's
anyway,
holding a long axe.
I can imagine that he would like watch someone get hit by a sleigh and not really give a shit.
Yeah.
So my first reaction.
A bit sociopathic, maybe.
Yeah, a bit. I mean, he is carrying an axe. So
that's him.
Anyway... And the tree.
Yes.
You're familiar with this tree, Alex?
I'm not familiar with this tree.
Well, this is the fir that grows in the Appalachian Mountains.
Okay.
So Fraser fir actually grows in the southern Appalachian Mountains. And as you go north, it transitions to the balsam fir. And the balsam fir has been treated as a same species as it or as a subspecies. So I believe that is actually... Balsam is the species. Fraser was a subspecies.
Okay.
But now they have split it up, and now there's two official different species.
You know, John Fraser would just hate that.
I think he would like it.
That he was part of a subspecies?
Yes.
No. Okay.
Agreed. Sorry. I thought you were saying he hated that they were lumped or split apart.
No.
Yes. I agree.
He would be like, no, switch it. Yeah. I'm first. Me. Somebody else can be the subspecies.
I don't care what you think.
Yeah.
I have an axe. So I don't know. What do you think, Alex? So this is it's a fir species that grows in the highest elevations in the Appalachian Mountains.
Okay, is that a characteristic of it that it grows in really high elevations?
Yes, very specifically, okay. And it grows almost exclusively in the southern area between Tennessee, North Carolina, uh-huh. and Virginia.
Does it,
those mountains, that's it.
Does it have any, so it's endemic to those mountains?
It is, yeah.
Does it have any interesting characteristics that set it apart as a fir in terms of its either foliage or cone or bark?
No, they are as fir as all the other firs.
Okay, so we can't really latch onto anything there. It sounds like its biggest thing is that it grows in high elevations.
Yes, in the Appalachian Mountains.
Which I think is okay. We can't name it Appalachian anything.
Nope.
But we could name it something after the fact that it grows in high elevations. Well, high elevations in the Appalachians is not very high.
Yeah,
right?
It's not. This is probably about 5,000, 6,000 feet. It's about the highest that it would go.
Okay.
But that's kind of pretty much as high as you'd expect most trees in that area to grow. Like that's pretty high up there. It's pretty very snowy.
Mm.
They do have very uniform branches. Like it's very they're very nice looking, but not like it doesn't necessarily split them apart from other fir trees.
Yeah.
I kind of like the idea of something like ascendens, because their branches kind of grow upwards and outwards. Which is a trait of many of them, but it's not like they kind of do it a lot. Their angles of their branches are not horizontal. They're just slightly upwards.
Well, you know, that makes me think of like a celebratory sort of arm gesture.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
like kind of excited.
Ooh.
Maybe it could be like the thrilled pine or pine fir, the excited fir.
The excited
fir. Let me look up a thesaurus.
Yeah. Okay. So if we're going to do that, then that would be like, maybe like Dionysus. We can go Greek on it.
Oh, hey, and, now we're talking.
Yeah, call it, what was Dionysus's Roman counterpart? Do we know this? Alex is looking at his chart of Greek mythologic family tree.
Bacchus.
Okay, so what if we do, Dionysus and Bacchus? So Bacchus was the Roman?
The god of wine, yeah.
Wait a second. Those are all Greek.
Oh, wait, maybe that's just their other name.
Yeah, Bacchus and Dionysus.
Fuck.
Well, either way, I was trying to think of maybe something with that where we could do like it's Abies Dionysica.
Okay.
Abies Bostica.
I like that. Wait, the Romans called him Bacchus.
Oh, Romans did?
Yeah.
Okay. In that case, why don't we just do that?
But is that not naming him after naming it after a person? I guess they didn't exist. Not a real person.
Yeah, it's more of it's a Greek god. It's an idea. It's an idea. He's the patron god, which is like the same as a spirit of
a
something.
Representation of other things.
Yeah,
of worldly things.
I do still hear you though. Like it's a bit of a stretch.
I think it's a stretch, but okay. it's not an immediate no.
So what if we just go with something that is that instead of saying the person named after the god that represents it? Or
yeah.
Do it.
How about the eager fur?
The eager fur. I love that.
It's eager. It's like,
hi.
Yeah.
Okay. Whoa. It's cool. We're here.
Eager
it's
fur.
Fine.
That's
hey,
great.
Why don't you chill out? We're going. I'm walking. The eager fur. I like it.
Okay.
So that would be, AB's, instead of Fraser eye.
I think we can use Bacchus for the Latin name.
Abies Bacchus.
Abies Bacchus.
Love it. That sounds so good.
Amazing. Casey,
it might be Bossica.
Oh, that's cool. Bacchus.
Bacchusica. I don't know.
Casey, you pick the next one.
All right. I am going to choose Virginia pine.
Wow.
Now, Virginia pine is named after the place Virginia, which is named after the Virgin Queen Elizabeth I.
So strange.
Hey, sometimes people aren't into sex, and that's okay, Queen.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, right, Queen.
It was all a ruse.
Yeah, she just never had a child. Does that make one a virgin?
I think they were using it ironically. Like, she was a modern woman.
I don't...
And I think that they were like, yeah, you know, the virgin queen? Yeah, yeah, right, like, wink,
yeah,
wink.
It's me.
Yeah.
Really? So, okay, I'll go with it.
Okay.
Done. So
rewriting history. Yes, well, Queen Elizabeth I.
Yep.
Born 1533.
Yep.
White. Female.
Female. The only one. But also, like, I have to say, like, it's kind of a stretch because it's named after the place, which is named after her. So it's not really an honorific to the queen.
And it's not even really named after her. It's named after, like, one of her attributes, which many other people have.
Yes, but she was known specifically for that. Like, that was, like, I just Googled Virgin Queen, and it was like, Queen Elizabeth I.
Okay.
So it's an attribute applied specifically to her. So I think you're right. We should give it a half credit, though, because I don't think that it is, they didn't say, we're going to name this tree after the queen. She's the Virgin Queen, so we're going to call it Virginia. This is, we found this tree in this place we call Virginia, therefore we're going to call it the Virginia pine.
I think it still counts because ultimately it was named after her.
Yeah.
It's just not named after her name.
Exactly. Yeah. So I think you're right.
Okay.
So we should give him at least a little bit of credit for that. So it is at least named after a non-male figure in this instance.
That's something.
So
although that female happens to be the Queen of England.
Exactly. So it's like, well.
Not like a botanist or something.
Exactly.
Casey, this is the Pinus virginiana, the Virginia pine. Also called the scrub pine, Jersey pine, possum pine.
And see, this is something that I love, is that there are a bunch of other vernacular names for these things.
Yeah.
Like ghost pine, for instance. Like, one of the vernacular names we chose was ghost pine.
Yeah.
While there are others that are less savory or just as neutral, you know?
Sure.
So I think that we could either go with one of those names or we can come up with our own.
I kind of like... going with possum pine.
Possum pine?
Is that just because possums live in these trees?
I don't know. Probably.
Over in Virginia?
Yeah, I feel like in Virginia, that's exactly like, possums up there.
If you look up in a tree and there's a possum, that might be a possum pine.
That might be a possum pine. Now, I do think that we are doing a little bit of a stereotype for all you Virginians out there.
No,
this
you're
is
not.
Virginia of the late 1800s, or the early 1800s, to be very clear.
Yes. Yeah.
And my good friend, who I lived with for several years, just 1 year, my old roommate, Zach, he's also from Virginia. He's got that accent.
I think it's perfectly fine to make fun of people from places.
Oh, thank you. I agree. Anyway, also, it goes both ways.
Of course. Make fun of Oregonians.
Yeah,
I put up that shit constantly. The internet hates Portland.
Yeah, that's true.
Woe is me. So, Casey...
Woke is you, Alex.
Wow.
Yeah.
Like
Portland.
I vote either possum pine or we come up with something, but possum pine is strong.
Yeah, possum pine is pretty good.
What do you think?
Because I don't think it should be scrub because it's a big tree, like it grows.
Oh,
but it also
no
has
scrub.
It's got a lot of cones on it.
Yeah, and the cones are pretty vicious looking.
They look vicious, but they're really not vicious.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
Like they do look like they have little pokes on it, but they don't really. They're just like laden. Like it's got so many of them. They're there all the time, everywhere. So I kind of want to think Pinus, grossus or something. Like,
I've got it.
What do you got?
Cornucopia.
Wow, Pinus. This is the cornucopia.
The cornucopia pine.
The cone pine.
It has a cornucopia of cones.
I love that. That's great.
We're having a little fun with it, but we did just do three shots because we've named three trees so far.
It's true. So we're getting a little wild.
Please,
Alex,
can we name the cornucopia?
I had to take the six shots.
Yeah.
So now I'm feeling really goofy.
He's drinking for two. So I vote either possum pine or cornucopia.
Cornucopia pine. But I'm not sure.
I do see that it's clade is the rosids.
Yes, it is in the rosids, but it's in the pea family. It used to be an acacia.
Okay.
So you'll be familiar with cat's claw acacia. We've brought that up a few times.
Thorn mimosa and acacia. Yes. So the acacias have thorns.
Yes.
A lot of them.
But all their names have changed. They did this big revision of a lot of the pine species, and specifically the acacia. So you'll recall that the, what were we talking about? I think it was the koa, which is technically an acacia species.
Yeah.
They had named a plant the acacia. And you remember with type species, the first one that they name defines that type.
Yes,
so
yeah.
Anything that is similar to that is related to it.
Yeah.
So what they did is they said, okay, we have these trees, we're going to call them acacias. Then they described them and then went down to Australia, found a bunch and said, well, these really like are actually acacias in a very kind of like old fashioned sense. I need to do my research again on it because I can't remember what it was. But they changed the name and essentially took away the type species acacia and gave it to a different acacia, and then changed what used to be the type species to be essentially prosopis.
I remember us talking about this at some point.
I can't remember the details.
That's very interesting. Yeah.
It was like one of these weird things where they like took away precedent in a weird way.
Yeah.
And they also have done this with this. So now it is no longer Acacia greggii. It is Senegalia greggii.
From Senegal.
Exactly. So they changed the scientific names. It's from the southeast United States, the south,
never mind.
Rather the Midwest. Oh my God. The south of Texas.
Will you do me a favor?
Yes.
Take a deep breath and think about nothing for like 2 seconds.
Alex.
And then start speaking.
I've never done that before.
We've talked about one of the big differences between you and I. When I'm trying to think of something, I go silent so I can think of it. But you think out loud so we can hear your thought. You getting closer to what you mean to say.
It's like you're coming on a journey with me.
It's fine.
Anyway.
So this is named after Greg somebody.
This is named after Greg.
Josiah Greg.
Yes, that's correct. Initially, I should say, because we used to call it, like in the Sibley Guide, it is Greg's, or rather just Greg Cat. Claw.
Greg Clat Cat. Well, it's hard to say.
Yeah, it's hard.
Clat. Greg Cat Claw. Okay.
Yes.
So this is Josiah Greg, born 1806, and he appears to be white and a male.
Yep. Let's check out what's the mustache looking like there?
He didn't enter the contest.
He didn't?
He is clean shaven.
But also, look at that hair.
Nice glossy face.
Yeah, he's got a nice kind of flat brow, very Cro-Magnon, I'd say.
Yeah, he is. Mm-hmm. He looks a little bit like a Croson, I think.
Yeah, he does. He looks like the kind of person you're like, hey, Josiah, and he would look over at you with very kind eyes.
He's what I would call ethnically Mormon.
What? All right, we'll stick with that.
I saw that somewhere, and I just thought that was the funniest thing.
Ethnically Mormon.
You know what I'm saying? Look at him.
I think I kind of do.
Casey.
Wow.
Do we know why this was named after Greg?
I do not have any real idea, other than he was a merchant explorer and naturalist. So somebody, maybe he found it initially and said, hey, I found this tree. And someone said, great, we're going to name it after you. That's my assumption.
Okay.
But the reason that in this, you'll see in my notes, I said, oh, but wait, because it is no longer called the cat claw. Or rather, it's still called that. It's no longer called Greg Catclaw.
Right.
When I Googled it, it was literally called the Wait a Minute Tree.
I saw this.
To which I said, why is it called a Wait a Minute Tree?
Yeah.
Do you know why they have that as a name?
Can I do a guess?
You may, absolutely.
I think you can probably harvest something from this tree.
Okay.
But if you harvest it, the way to tell if you're too early in harvesting it is if all these cat claws are out, you'll cut yourself. People are just, wait a minute. And the cat claws fall off. They're they're deciduous.
I love that.
And
idea.
Then you can harvest the thing.
It is very beautiful, Alex.
But it's not it.
Not it.
Why is it called the wait a minute?
Because apparently they will catch those cat claws, will catch your clothes as you walk by, as if the tree is saying, hey, wait a minute.
Fun.
Isn't that great?
That's great.
So I'm like, done. that sounds perfect. The wait a minute tree.
I love it.
Or I think maybe we should just call it the wait a minute.
The wait a minute. Yeah. Those are wait a minute over there.
Yeah, there's a wait a minute.
Big forest of, big grove of wait a minute.
Well, actually, we call groves of wait a minute ours.
Nice.
Welcome. Anyway, that's all we can do today, because there's no possible way we can keep going after I have that banger of a joke.
An hour of wait a minute.
An one minute at a time. We'll get there.
Those are more like a. That's a long weekend of wait a minute over
it
there.
It is. Yeah. Wow. We got a long weekend. There's more. Hey, there's a fortnight of wait a minute.
Yeah, that's great. They're invasive. If you don't cut them back, it'll turn into a month of wait a minute.
It'll turn into a month. Oh, it's so good. All right, Alex.
I love
it. Let's do a
few more. It's adaptable, too. That's fun.
It really is.
It's scalable, I should say.
It's scalable, I was going to say. Yeah.
Okay, well, next up, I'm going to choose...
Honestly, I also think that's such a good name. Like if you translate that to a different language, you know?
Yeah.
Like, wait a minute. So if you translate that exactly, it's just... Hold on 1 minute.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, that's the name of that tree.
Yeah, I like it that it's like a little phrase.
Yeah.
That's fun.
I think
it's hyphenated too.
Right. I think in Japanese and Chinese, you get this a lot because their words are based on symbols. So the name of something, German is also similar to this, where it's like you have one name for something is really like a few different descriptors for it.
Sure.
So you have the descriptor for the tree. You also have the descriptor from where it is, maybe what it looks like.
Yeah.
You mush it all together and the name of it is the big tree from the riverside.
Totally.
So, but
I love that
when you translate it, it just is one word.
Yeah.
So I kind of like that when like the translations look really goofy, but I think that is kind of funny to be like, oh yeah, that's a wait a minute.
That and, is like, great.
You just say it enough. Everyone's going to be like, yeah, wait a minute. Yeah. Okay. There you go. Yeah. There's that.
I wish there was some sort of like hieroglyph based English.
Oh,
or what is that called? Character based,
yeah,
I guess.
I believe they're called emojis.
Yeah, sure.
You know, they wrote an entire emoji Bible.
That sounds awful.
Yeah, it does.
I hate that exists. Casey, next up, you know what? We're running up against our time limit here, Case. So I think we should end with the big one. The one I've been dreading this whole time.
The one you've been dreading. The Douglas fir.
The Douglas fir.
Yeah.
You know, here I am at the ripe old age of 35. And one thing that has become really important to me just over the last couple of years is privacy. Besides what I tell you here on the podcast, I basically don't want anyone to know anything about me unless I choose to tell them. And one way I up my privacy game is with NordVPN. Now, if you are like me and didn't know what a VPN was until a couple of weeks ago, let me tell you. A VPN is a virtual private network. And I said to myself, well, sure, that sounds cool, but I really don't know what it is or does. And then the moment I turned it on, I said, I get it now. A VPN changes your IP address, hides your virtual location, and encrypts your connection, which allows you to increase your privacy online. How many times per day do you get scam calls or spam email because your data got leaked somehow? I also get emails from companies saying, hey, I see you bought something with us recently. Unfortunately, we got hacked and your data is now being used to harm you. With a VPN, you do not have to worry about any of this. It secures you when you're using public Wi-Fi. It stops marketers and internet service providers from tracking and collecting your browsing history and your messages and lots of other private data. And you can change your location to any of hundreds of countries, unlocking the power of, I don't know, say, British Netflix. I didn't know how important it was until I started using one. That's the truth. So if you just want to check out the features and see if it's right for you, I bet there's something about a VPN that will surprise you. So get started with NordVPN at nordvpn.com/trees. That's nordvpn.com/trees. It's risk-free with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee, and the link is in the description. Now go get secure.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Named after David Douglas, mm-hmm. another Scotch botanist, a Scottish botanist, yeah. I should say. Born 1799, is white and is a male.
Yep. Also, no mustache.
No mustache to be heard of, unfortunately.
A bit of a shame, David.
I think he could have looked good with like kind of a handle. Once he moved to America, sort of a handlebar, you know, Daniel Plainview mustache.
You know, I think he would be better with a full beard.
So, Casey, we got David Douglas. We all know who he is. He's a Scotch botanist.
Yeah.
Plant explorer, died in a pit trap in Hawaii.
Mm-hmm. As all the good ones do.
I shared this fact recently when I was in the studio with this group of people. And we started talking about David Douglas High School. And I said, named after David Douglas and the Douglas fir. And I said, hey, you want to hear a fun fact? You know how he died? He fell into a pit trap meant for boars in Hawaii, thinking that it would get some sort of like positive sort of laugh reaction. And it just sucked the air out of the room.
It sucked. Sorry. Well, that's why you just got to be like, well, no one's curious about these. Like, that's crazy. No one has anything to say about that.
I can't believe you guys aren't reacting to this thing.
This next song is going to suck, and it's because of you.
You should have played along. God damn it.
And then just ruin it the whole time. Okay. Back on track.
Yeah. Well, this name is kind of interesting, Casey, because not only is it named after a person, mm-hmm. but it's a bit of a misnomer. It's a false fir.
Correct.
This is not, or a false hemlock, I should say.
It's all of the above.
It's both, because the common name is a hyphenated fir, which means it's false fir.
Correct.
But the scientific name is a false hemlock.
Exactly.
Pseudotsuga.
Yeah.
So what the fuck is it?
Nobody knows.
We're about to find out. Yeah.
I have not done the research, and I said years ago, but it's a little bit more challenging than you'd expect. I have not found something that says, oh, here's the vernacular name for it.
Yeah.
In fact, let's use Japan as a really good example for this. Hmm. We've obviously been talking about it for the last month, but Japan is a country that has its own language, and they've named all of their trees. And when people from the West finally started going over there, they would say, oh, well, what's this tree? And they would have a name for it, and they would actually listen to it. But then we'd name it like, oh, okay, it's the Hinoki cypress.
Sure.
It's the Sawara cypress, when really these are just the Japanese names.
We have to get our influence in there.
Yeah, exactly. So it's a little bit of a rub there, but at least the name was given, as opposed to if anyone came over and said, hello, native peoples to this land, what do you call this thing?
Yeah.
They would have a name for it, but I haven't been able to find what it is for this tree. Okay. I know it's out there, and I just have not had the time to take
a
look.
Sure, yeah. It's not like you came up with nothing, so therefore it must not exist.
Yeah, exactly. But I will also say that they maybe did not have the same taxonomic structure that we do. Mm. The one that we use are famous Linnaeus's structure. That is what we would call the scientific taxonomic system. It's wonderful. It's great. We use it. But everyone else, as we've noted, has their own like folk taxonomy. So it could have been that the native peoples had names for every single tree, but they would maybe not differentiate between two trees that look very similar that we now would say are two different species.
Sure.
They might have also lumped trees together in a different way. So it couldn't have been that they just had named A, B, and C for A, B, and C trees. It could have been that they said, yeah, all those trees are this kind of tree.
Sure. You know what I mean? We have to kind of forget about some pretty foundational beliefs that trees are species and then genre and then a family.
Precisely.
And like the way that we lump them together. I mean, like you have to forget all that. And I've got a pitch for the Douglas fir.
Ooh. Now, before I want to hear it, so don't forget it.
Okay.
But this has ramifications. The reason that I'm glad we ended on this is that because the Douglas fir is neither fir, Douglas, or hemlock.
Yeah.
It doesn't have its own name.
That's what I'm saying.
But there are like six species of quote, Douglas fir.
Yeah.
The only reason we call it Douglas fir is because when the West came over and said, oh, here's this tree, the fir, the pine, the spruce, it's a Douglas fir. It's a different thing. Then when we found others, the big cone, the several or four other species that are in Japan and China,
mm-hmm.
we in the West now call them the Wilson's Douglas fir, the big cone Douglas fir, that Douglas fir, instead of its own thing. So whatever your pitch is about to be, it theoretically would need to also be applied to the rest of them.
That's right.
Ooh, Alex is ready.
This is like,
he's up to the challenge.
Imagine Eddard Stark mm-hmm. is like, you know what? Fuck the Stark name. We're going to come up with something completely different. They change it.
Ugh, I and hope then they're like big toughies.
The big cold toughies.
Yeah.
But then, you know, well, the Car Starks are also named after Stark.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So we have to send a raven to them and have them update their banners.
Yeah. You're the Car Big Toughies?
Anyway. So Casey, my pitch for the Douglas fir.
Okay.
We can, I don't have like a specific thing, but.
Sure, yeah.
Something to do with the mouse butts.
Okay, yeah, that was my initial thought,
okay,
too.
Okay, perfect. And if you don't know what we're saying, on the Douglas fir cone.
If you don't know what we're saying, look up butt, comma, mouse.
there are bracts coming out of each scale that appear to be a little, the hind legs and the tail of a mouse. That's the shape, kind of the general shape of those bracts.
Yeah.
So I think it should be, you know, the mouse butt, pine.
Ooh,
or not,
okay.
Maybe not pine. It is. Is it closest to a fir in terms of its other qualities?
I mean, its leaves are closer to a fir, but I think, I mean, it's actually, like, in terms of scientific relation, like genetics,
yeah.
It's mostly related, most closely related to larches, actually. Larches, oh. Keeleria, and a few others.
Okay, that makes sense, actually. Yeah, I say we call it the mouse butt. And then the rest of them are like, you know, the southern mouse butt, the eastern mouse butt, or mouse butt cone.
Mouse butt cone tree.
The mouse butt cone tree.
Okay. All right.
Or
so,
the mouse cone.
So I'm just doing a quick look here because I just want to confirm. Okay. Okay.
Or one. The mouse house cone, because there's many mice in that
okay,
house.
Okay. Do we have anything for Latin? What's Latin for house? Manicius or Aetius, something like that, right?
I'm looking it up.
Thank you. Now, as you're looking that up, I know this makes for great radio. We are also looking up all the different cones. Yep. Okay. They all got bracts so far. Every single one has a bract that looks just like the others.
So house is either domum or casa.
Okay. Ooh. Okay. I like domum.
And mouse is mus, M-U-S.
What if we make it like, well, I guess we're talking about the common name. So this would be not the Douglas fir.
How about this, Casey?
Okay.
Mouse is moose, M-U-S.
Okay.
Casa, the muscasa. The muscasa. That's the general.
Yes.
That's like the genus.
That would be the scientific genus name.
Yes.
Muscasa.
And then you have the southern muscasa.
Japanese muscasa.
The mountain muscasa.
Yeah, big cone muscasa.
Big cone muscasa.
Oh, that's fun.
And then the one that grows here, the one that we call the Douglas fir, is just the muscasa.
Ooh,
or the common muscasa.
Yeah. Oh, I love, that's nice. The common muscasa.
Yeah.
Now, common is to a place, so it's relative.
Okay.
So if you are elsewhere and you call the common, then it doesn't quite make it there.
How about?
What about big? It's the tallest of all of them. So what if we call it like the Grand Muscasa?
Grand Muscasa.
Yeah. This is the Grand Muscasa.
Go talk to the Grand Muscasa. He's in the booth in the back.
Yeah. Make sure to knock. Bring yourself a little bit of cheese. Okay.
He's wearing a fez and smoking a cigar.
That
I
would
heard
be...
you wanted a word.
I just, falls on you.
Feed him to the rats. yeah, I like Grand Muscasa.
That sounds
fun.
Great. Yeah,
it's beautiful.
Okay. Mouse Muscasa. Yeah, that sounds nice.
Muscasa Muscasa.
Muscasa. Muscasa.
Muscasa.
I like that. Honestly, it has like a very flow term to it. Feels almost like honestly Mexican.
Interesting.
Like, this feels like a Mexican kind of name.
Muscasa.
Yeah.
I mean,
Casa is literally Spanish.
Sure. So. It sounds like a liquor or something, like mezcal or something. You know?
Dude, I think that'd be kind of fun, wouldn't it? Like, hey, I'm going to the store getting some Muscasa. You guys want me? Oh, yeah.
It's just like a liqueur made with Douglas fir cones. All right, Case. That was our brainstorm session. I think we got some good work done.
Yeah. And you know what? We have some others. So we'll do this again. But while we come up with doing this again, you all out there, if you think of something, if you want other names, you have two options. You have two ways to interact with us. This time. Mm-hmm. First one, give us your names. If you think of something, because there are lots of creative people out there listening to this right now that blow you and I out of the water.
Yeah,
Alex,
sure.
No offense to you or me. Well, but we want to hear it. I want to hear that, these other names. And if you have a tree that you're like, what do you guys think about this one?
Yeah.
Send it over to us. We'll come up with it.
I love it, Casey. I also think, you know, as part of this new order that we're creating.
The Grand Order.
The Grand Order. Mm-hmm.
The Muscasa Order.
It sounds a little supremacy.
I was going, yeah, okay, you're right. I was thinking Star Wars. What's the?
The new order thing. Yeah. First Order. Excuse me.
First Order. That's right. All right. So yes, you're right.
I think that part of our new kind of bylaws are like, you know, we have the scientific name, yes, and use those whenever you don't want to be mistaken, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But I think it should also, there should be an emphasis on folk taxonomy.
Yes.
Like call it what your people in your little region call it, no matter how regional, you know,
interesting,
and share that with somebody else and don't be like, no, it's called this.
Yeah.
Like, oh, we call it this. Oh, interesting. We call it this.
I think that would be very, very good.
Thank you so much for listening to this first episode of Completely Arbitrary Tremium. Hey, we'll see you next time. Goodbye.
Bye, everyone.
Completely Arbitrary is produced by Alex Croson and Casey Clapp. Our artwork is by Jillian Barthold, and our music is by Aves and the Mini Vandals. If you want to support this podcast and become a Tremium member, head over to arbitrarypod.supercast.com. Thanks for listening.